Greetings in Jesus' name again this evening. First off, first things first, thank you so much for your hospitality today, your predictable hospitality. We expected it, and you performed. And I might just remind you, we are only 3 plus a little bit hours away from here, so don't hesitate to come visit us at Tyrone when you have opportunity. Or we'll help you find the opportunity if you don't. We just sang about our reliance on our Heavenly Father, or relying on Jesus. With thee through night, or was it light and darkness, I reached the goal. We don't make it ourselves. And if we've learned that tonight, we can close up shop and go home, so to speak, because what I have to talk about is more human, and that is that sometimes I struggle with this, and sometimes, obviously, most people struggle with this. Some days I think I've learned this, and the next day I wonder if I've learned this. But I've found that when I learn this, there's great blessing. And I was going to, we'll get to that. I'd like to think tonight, I've entitled the message, The Release. And that title may not make sense to you, but I hope in a few minutes it will. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a bit. But contentment. I want to think about contentment in the aspects of, as it relates to our physical, our emotional, our placement in God's kingdom, if you will. And I want us to think about, and I want us to understand the importance of contentment. But I'm not much of a board user, but I was going to ask if there was a board, and I forgot to ask Brother Jeff earlier today. But you can easily sketch this if you will. But over a heading, I call it The Blessed Life. And underneath that, picture a circle. And this is The Blessed Life. And in this circle, I have it divided up in three sections, and that is obedience, faith and trust, and contentment. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in a little bit, or one verse actually, that I take the drawing from. That those three things, I have it named something somewhere else. Can't remember what it is. Oh, the other heading I'd had for it is My Life in the Will of God. And that is faith and trust, contentment, and obedience. And that is where we will find the blessed and the fulfilled life. But we'll get to that a little bit more a little later on. So what is contentment? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, or maybe be better to say, have any of you not ever struggled with contentment? I think we all have, and I think at times it ebbs and flows. It comes, it goes. I want to look at about what I'm going to call our seven facts of contentment here at the beginning. And fact number one is, and I don't know if the dictionary will tell you this, but I'm going to tell you God's word tells us this. Fact number one about contentment is that it is an action verb. And I'm not much of a teacher, even though I did teach school a little bit. But I know what an action verb is. It's not something that happens. It's not something that just happens. What I mean by that is an individual who desires contentment places themselves in a contented state. Turn to Philippians 4 and verse 11. We're breaking into the, just right into, but this is a very familiar verse. Philippians 4:11. We don't have many scriptures to turn to tonight, but we have a verse here and a verse there. And this is one of the verses that I want us to see. Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, if you look at the end of your passage of chapter 4, it says this was written to the Philippians from Rome by Epaphroditus. But it is a letter to the Philippians from the Apostle Paul and Timotheus. So I would like to believe tonight, I believe that verse 11, the I in verse 11 is Apostle Paul. And he's referring back to verse 10 when he says, not that he's speaking in respect to want, because he's talking about the care of others. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Apostle Paul, if anyone had reasons, if any of us have reasons, or anyone in the past, Apostle Paul would have had reason not to be content. He found himself in prison. I don't know how many times. I don't even know. I went looking and I could not find it. Maybe one of you knows this, but he may have even been in prison when this letter was being drafted. I don't know that for sure. Some of the statements that he makes, some commentators feel like he was in prison for part of the letter and some felt he just gotten out. But anyhow, you get the picture. Apostle Paul was in prison not just once or twice. He was beaten not just once or twice. He was in shipwreck not just once. He faced a lot of things, but here's his testimony. For I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He decidedly placed himself in a contented state. I better stop there. I'm going to get into the next facts because they all kind of run together. Number two, I will see from this verse is that contentment needs to be learned. Apostle Paul didn't just all of a sudden get a box from the Pony Express that had contentment in it one day, but he had to learn it. Perhaps he learned it the hard way, just like some of us learn things the hard way. We don't know. We know a lot of things about Paul and the things he went through, but he says, I've learned. This is a testimony. I have learned to be content. Number three, contentment is not circumstantial. It has nothing to do with our circumstances. Now that really flies in my face. That really flies in the face of those of us that struggle with temporal things and the temporal. Yes, we are created temporal, and this is going to be a battleground for any normal human being. But contentment is not circumstantial. Or else, Apostle Paul could not have had this testimony. If contentment was circumstantial, Christians in America today would have no reason to be discontent based on Apostle Paul and his life. We have everything we need. There was times Apostle Paul didn't have what he needed, but he still says, I'm content. I've learned it. And I wanted to state also that I want to be careful. I'll be tested within 24 hours, but I have learned the beauty of the release of contentment. Sometimes I have to relearn it. But I have learned in my short lifetime that there is release in being content. Number four, the lack of contentment. I know I said this is facts about contentment, but the lack of contentment is a threat regardless of our needs. Now, that's just saying the same thing a different way, I guess. But we can struggle with contentment regardless if we have need. Rich or poor, discontentment is a threat. In other words, if it was just that another $1,000 that you needed yet, and then you can replace that vehicle. Discontentment is a threat regardless of our need or of need. Number five, it is possible. Contentment is possible no matter where I am or what condition I am in. And a number of years ago, I don't know, it's been 13, 14 years ago, I had a physical problem that took my voice away from me. For 7 months, I couldn't talk very much. I had a paralysis of one of my vocal cords. And that, you know what? You just all of a sudden, from enjoying singing and talking too much and lose that. And it's a struggle. It was a struggle. It is possible no matter where I am or what condition I'm in. And do I believe that? Do you really believe that? No matter what happens, no matter where God leads you, contentment is possible. You can be satisfied and say, you know what? This is where God wants me. And so I will be content with this. That's what Apostle Paul did. That's what he said. Was he just telling stories? I don't believe so. His life backed it up. He was content. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's two verses here. We're just going to look at the one of the verses for this point. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, and that is, contentment is gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, because he inserts the word but, we look back. And the phrases right prior say, supposing that gain is godliness. He's talking about false teaching and false teachers and what they're spreading. He said, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. There was a teaching afloat at that time that gain is godliness. And I don't know if that's very far from us today in America, that gain is godliness. No, maybe you don't think we struggle with it. But we can look around and we can sure point at people that struggle with it, that if you live right, we call it the wealth and health, or the health and wealth gospel, or whatever. But godliness with contentment is great gain. When you have godliness and contentment together, a godly lifestyle and contentment, that is gain. That is really what matters. That is what life is all about. That is the blessed life in the circle, faith and trust. Finally, we're not going to have obedience. We're not going to have obedience to our Heavenly Father if we don't have faith and trust in Him. And we're certainly not going to have contentment if we don't have the faith and trust either. Contentment is gain. You're much further ahead. And we will notice, hopefully, in a little bit more practical way, some of that in a little bit. And number 7, look at verse 8 here, 1 Timothy 6. And all I have is the parameters for physical contentment are set. Again, maybe depends where we lived in the world tonight. We would read this verse and understand it a little bit differently. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. And I've had people tell me that attempted to water this down and said, well, that just means that as long as your needs are met and that you have what you need. And yes, it does mean that. But I read my Bible at face value and having food and raiment. So if you have food and clothing, yes, your basic needs. Let us be there with content. The parameters are set for physical contentment. Right there they are. We don't need anything else for contentment. I don't think he's implying that you can be discontent if you don't have enough food or if you don't have enough clothing. But he is saying, and if you have your things, because verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into this world and certainly we can carry nothing out. Anything beyond food and raiment, anything beyond your basic needs, you can't take with you. Can't really take food with you either. But what I'm saying is what keeps you alive. All the rest of it is extras. So most of these things have ties to what I call the blessed life. Faith and trust, obedience and contentment. They fall underneath that. And we find contentment there. I'd like to think just a little bit about discontentment. And maybe I don't even need to say this, because we've found ourselves discontent enough, perhaps. A discontented state distorts my vision right now. If you ever, I guess I often lump contentment with covetousness. I wish I had something I don't have. You know, when you have that, that's all you see. When discontent is reigning, that's all you can see, what is causing you that discontentment. I don't think I need to give you an example. I think you know what that is. But when I'm in that discontent state and I look in the mirror to see what my life looks like, it is ill-proportioned. It is out of shape. It is not the way it belongs. And that discontented state Number one, it believes lies. Discontent caused me to believe lies. It says, I'm nothing because I can't do this, this, or that. Or I'm underprivileged because my grandfather didn't will me X amount of $1,000. No one else has to put up with you fill in the blank. But you know what? That's not true. There's many people that may be putting up with something that you don't have to put up with. There are many people out there that wish they had the gift that you have. There are many people that may be struggling with something very similar to you. So it believes lies. And number two, it blinds my eyes in relation to blessing. Discontentment blinds my eyes in relation to blessings. Discontentment pushes peace out of the way because unrest is discontentment's close companion. It breeds unrest within us. So when I'm discontent, or when I'm tempted with discontent, we need to ask, so what evil will be remedied because by this? If I remain in this state, what will be remedied? Or what will be supplied because I'm discontented? Or what calamity will be removed? I know those are all big things, perhaps. But those are questions you can possibly ask to bring you back, bring your moorings back. That is because I must understand that contentment can only grow in the heart of the individual that believes that God is right in all his ways and does everything right. That's why faith and trust is so important to the blessed life. Because if you don't have confidence, if I don't have confidence in my leader and don't have confidence that he can place me where he wants me, or he can bring into my life what he wants to bring in my life, or he can take from me whatever he wants to as creator and as heavenly father. If you don't believe that, then contentment cannot grow in that kind of a heart. Discontent will grow in that heart. Another companion in the group of discontentment is a critical spirit. I believe an early sign of discontent, perhaps, and I'm revealing myself maybe, is that it's a critical spirit, which is one of envy seedlings. You get critical of something when actually you are coveting it or wishing for it. Because someone is or someone has something that I secretly wish was my lot or was for me. And by that, you seek to lift yourself up. All the while, your life is lacking peace. When that is all going on, you have a life that is without peace. Now, defining contentment a little bit more. So what is contentment? As I said, it's an action verb. And here's what Strong's has to say about contentment. It is raising a barrier or to ward off. Contentment is raising a barrier or means to ward off. So when you have that barrier around you, you're pushing out discontent. Again, my life in the will of God is within that barrier. Faith and trust, contentment and obedience are all in that package. And remember, we just read, and I wanted to, that's where I got my drawing, if you will, from verse 6 of 1 Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And when the scripture tells us what great gain is, I need to sit up and listen. It is that combination is what moves us ahead in life and in our spiritual life as well. Contentment is to raise up that barrier, because it will not fall on me. It will not just automatically come. We have to build the wall of contentment that wards off or to ward off the discontentment. Peace reigns because I'm safe within that barrier of contentment. I'm safe within that faith and trust, that contentment and that obedience. That is, peace reigns when I have my life within that wall. And you know what? I find that when I have that wall built good and solid, I don't see out. I'm not tempted as much either. When my focus is on confidence and faith and trust in my Heavenly Father and in obedience, contentment falls very well into place because that is my focus. It's no longer on myself. Discontentment is a focus on myself. Nothing can get to me, and I'm free to live as God wants me to live in His will when I'm focusing on that. And there is release here. There is release. So what is release? Release in its noun form has several meanings, but the first one that I saw is the one I like the best. Release is relief or deliverance from sorrow, suffering, or trouble. Another definition I liked was the act or instance of liberating or freeing as from a restraint. Without the barrier of contentment built around me, I'm held captive by the things I want and by the person I wish I could be. Peace no longer reigns. There's not release there when I'm held captive by the things I want, by the person I wish I was. You know what? Thinking more practically, inside that fence, inside that barrier of contentment, it doesn't matter that my truck has 260,000 miles. It doesn't matter. You know what? It doesn't matter either that, you know, Mark and Lorraine can build a nice house. Ron and Jeff can fix cars. Jay can sell a car. You name it. They can do those things. I can't. I can't do them. All I can do is make a sandwich. And guess what? That lasts about 30 seconds. And that's gone. A vehicle, a house that hangs around. You know, those are things, you know, we don't speak in those kind of terms perhaps. But we think those things. What am I doing that's really worth anything? That's discontent. That's coming in. Or so-and-so sister gets new dresses for her birthday and for the anniversary. She's sewing this. So she can piece a quilt or she can keep a spotless house or you name it. You know what you struggle with. But those are the avenues that we go down that just allows discontent to come in. That is not dwelling within the barrier of contentment, of allowing God to place me where he wants me, and then to find the peace and release of remaining right in the will of God. When we're in the circle, what I lack in things, what I lack in ability, what I chafe at about my lot in life no longer matters because I'm in the will of God and there is release. We're no longer bound by things. There I am. I find release. Contentment brings release. Discontentment brings unrest. You know, when you're dwelling in the circle within the barrier of contentment and release, my thoughts no longer flow through the sieve, if you will, of my lack. You know, when you're looking at yourself, when I look at myself, I tend to, everything I see or hear, I flow through that sieve that I have or I don't have because it's about me. You know, when it's no longer about me, it does not matter. They flow through the channel of being in God's will. And then we begin to evaluate things. Is that really for me, being in the center of God's will, my life and God's will, faith and trust and obedience? Now, let me remind us that this does not take place without much effort. I think we all know that. It almost sounds automatic to say, you know, if we build up this wall, then all of a sudden, no. We said contentment is to raise a barrier and to ward off. And, you know, that wall begins to deteriorate by times when we don't keep it, we don't keep the joints cleaned up and grout clean, and it begins to break away. But you know, if it was too simple to be content, it wouldn't be as sweet and refreshing when we find ourselves in the center of God's will and with contentment there. It takes a constant and continual decision to obtain that release. You may find contentment today, but tomorrow you may need to re-find it. I want to read you a little story. An author that I was introduced to by your former pastor, Jay. So hopefully this one isn't worn out. But there's a story from William Barton, who was a pastor back at the turn of the 20th century, I believe. It's a short story. The man from Jonesville. Now, there was among my neighbors a man whose name was Smith, and he was from Jonesville. And he told me often of Jonesville, what a lovely place it was, and how everyone who lived there was happy and virtuous, and how sorry he was that he ever had left there, and how he wanted to go back to Jonesville. And when the men from the city where I lived failed to clean the snow off their sidewalks, or the city council indulged in graft, or the children were rude, or there was an early frost, he told me that such things did not happen in Jonesville. And this continued for 9 to 20 years, and the older he grew, the more he talked about Jonesville. And I told him I hoped that when he died, he would go to Jonesville. Now it came to pass that he prospered, so that he retired from business, and he sold his house and lot in the city wherein I dwell, and went back to Jonesville, that he might spend his last years in peace and die in Jonesville. And we all bade him farewell with something of sorrow and something of relief. And it came to pass that at the end of 6 months, he and his wife moved back again and bought their old place for $1,000 more than they sold it for. And they were tenfold more happy to get back than they had been to go away. And it came to pass on an evening that Keturah, that was this man's wife, that Keturah and I called on them, and I said, "Old fella, tell me on the level, what was the matter with Jonesville?" And he said to me, "Speak not to me of Jonesville, lest I do thee harm. It is the toughest joint this side of the state's prison. The dear people we knew have all died or moved away. And they who are in their places are unneighborly and snobbish. And they tango and do other outrageous stunts, and their children are the limit. We have come back to dwell in the place where we have spent 20 happy years. And we have but one favor to ask of our old neighbors, and that is that they never speak to us of Jonesville." And as Keturah and I walked home, I spake to her and said, "Keturah." And Keturah answered, "I know what thou art about to say, and I suspected it all the time that it would be just so." And I said, "There are many men and women who sigh for some Jonesville or other who might be decently happy where they are if they would make it their business." And Keturah said, "Our Jonesville is right here." And I said, "Amen." Do we ever find ourselves there? Sigh and wish for something better, only to find out when the Lord grants it to us that it really wasn't what we wanted. The children of Israel did that. They so badly wanted some quail to eat. They wanted some meat to eat. Well, you know what happened. Turn to Hebrews 11. There's a biblical example, a Bible example here that I want us to see. This is not a negative example, but a positive one. A familiar one to us, perhaps. Verse 26. Hebrews 11, 26. Esteeming, is talking about Moses now, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses spent nearly 40 years, as far as we know, in Egypt's system, learning their ways. He likely had it all coming to him. But when he looked for real gain, remember we read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, "But godliness with the contentment is great gain." When he looked for real gain, he chose rather to join his people and have his lot content with them than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, it says, but it also he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. It was worth more than all the treasures in Egypt. Moses laid down this greatness and wealth to be in God's will. And the barrier that he built left him materially poor by Egyptian standards, and at very times unpopular, but it was okay. It was fine because he was right where God wanted him to be. He was doing the will of God. Another remedy I often think of, I try to remind myself, if I find things getting rough or struggling, is that I'm a sojourner. we could read more of Hebrews 11. You can find that we're sojourners. You know what a sojourner is? It's someone that doesn't have a home. Someone that doesn't have a place to call home. That's what we are here on this earth. I was not created for this world. I was not created to enjoy the good life. I believe our Creator's goal in creating us and creating mankind was to have fellowship and then to one day take him out of this world and bring him unto himself. But he has something for us to do while we're here. Yes, we fellowship with him. We fellowship with each other. But we are to be a good influence on this world, and we are also to be stewards, good stewards of his creation. That is a requirement. And I believe we're also to help others come to that decision point in their lives as to what they will do with our Creator. A quote I ran across . It requires but little of this world's goods to satisfy a man who feels himself to be a citizen of another country and knows that this is not his rest. That's where I want to be, but I'll read it again. It requires but little of this world's goods to satisfy a man who feels himself to be a citizen of another country and knows that this is not his rest. This world is not his rest. Hebrews 4, how to think of that right away, it talks about rest. I'm just going to read two verses, Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There is this eternal rest promised. We have an eternal rest promised. We can have rest today. We already said that. We already understand that. Contentment, and there's a whole host of other things, brings us rest and peace today. But we can't experience the rest to come. It says here, the word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. We must have faith and confidence that there is rest today and that there is rest for tomorrow, that there is release today. Let's work for that release. Let's work for that rest today. I want to leave us with this question. How will I expect to obtain future rest, future release from this world if I do not find rest or release in my life today? Let's be working to find release and rest. God bless you.